Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text which serves as the basis for this morning's proclamation is from the New Testament reading for today, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6. Now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. This is the text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, you all know the feeling of being an outsider. An outsider, those times and places in your life when you don't know anyone. You're new. You're different from everyone else. You're not an insider, you're an outsider. So when you're in middle school and your family moves to a new town over the summer and you have to go to a new school, you're an outsider. Or when you take that new job in Liberal, Kansas, and you're not moving here from Guymon or Garden City, but from Michigan or California, you're the outsider. A person visits Grace Lutheran Church for the very first time. Everyone here knows everyone else. No one knows you. You're the outsider. Being the outsider means you're alone. It means you feel like you don't belong. It's uncomfortable. It's awkward. So uncomfortable, so awkward that people will go to great lengths to avoid being the outsider. So I might move to Liberal, but I'll move back home as soon as I can. I might take that new job, but then I might actually quit that job, go back to the old one. I don't like being the outsider. In our text today, the Apostle Paul is writing to people who knew what it was like to be outsiders. He's writing to the Gentiles in the Christian congregation in Ephesus. The Gentiles are those people who are not Jewish. They are not descendants of Abraham. So they were outsiders, outside of the covenant that God made with Abraham. Outsiders with regard to God and His chosen people. Outsiders who did not know God as their Father. An example of this outsidedness is the stone fence that surrounded the temple in Jerusalem in Paul's day. You had to go through that outside fence and then up the stairs, then you could get into the outer courts of the temple. Gentiles were required to stay outside of the fence. There were signs on the fence that said, "No foreigners allowed on penalty of death." In other words, you Gentiles are not welcome here. You are outsiders. You must stay outside. But as the Apostle Paul is making clear here in Ephesians 2, when the time was right, God changed all that. God sent His Son Jesus into the world to live and suffer and die and rise again for all people. Jesus' blood was shed and His life was given on the cross so that the sins of the whole world would be forgiven. And having risen from the grave, Jesus told His disciples to go and proclaim the good news, the gospel, not just to the Jews, not just to the sons of Abraham, not just to the insiders, but to people of all nations, the outsiders too. As we heard Him say, Ephesians 2 verse 6, now in Christ Jesus, you outsiders who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. In other words, in Christ Jesus, and because Jesus died and rose for all, the former categories of outsiders and insiders, they no longer apply. So we can say today, to all those who believe in Jesus as their Savior and Lord, to all Christians of whatever nationality, of whatever ethnicity, of whatever economic class, of whatever social status, whether they are male or female, Paul here is saying that we're all members of the household of God. We are all members of the same family. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. No more insiders and outsiders. No more people, some of whom are first in line, others are second in line. There is now just one Christian church, one Christian family, united in Christ. This week we just confessed this in the Nicene Creed. We said, I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. One church, not two churches, not 10 churches. One holy Christian apostolic church. And we sang in the hymn just now, we said the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord. One foundation in Christ. Later in Ephesians, the Apostle Paul will write, there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. That is seven ones in that one sentence. One Christian church, founded on the teachings of the apostles and the prophets, anchored in and joined together by faith in Jesus. Which sounds good. Unity is a good thing. The opposite of unity is division, separation, walls between people. And that's not a good thing. We don't want division. We want unity. But a person could very legitimately ask, upon observation of today's Christian church throughout the world, where is this unity among Christians? I'm not seeing it. There are, in liberal Kansas today, there are 39 or so different Christian congregations representing probably 30 different denominations. The average person on the street will look at that and say, that does not look like unity to me. Christians worshiping separately in their own buildings with their own practices and their own views. And even within those congregations, you've got people who disagree with each other on matters of faith. This person believes this. The guy sitting in the pew right next to him believes the opposite. Or you take it to the family level even. Is there Christian unity within Christian families? One adult sibling goes to church here, another there, the third doesn't go at all. Give me 5 minutes with any of them and we'll discover things that we disagree on. We'll find examples of disunity within this Christian church that is supposedly so unified in Christ. So where is the unity? The unity is there, but it is not yet fully realized. There is absolutely an inward unity, an invisible unity, but as far as seeing it outwardly and visibly, that we've not gotten to yet. Because we are in an in-between time right now. In between Jesus' first coming and his second coming. In between the day when Jesus won the victory over sin and death and hell, and then the day still to come when Jesus will return to judge the living and the dead. During this in-between time in which we live right now, Satan is still at work. During this in-between time, there are still many, many false teachers doing their best to undermine the foundation of the apostles and prophets that Paul talked about. During this in-between time, sin is still very much a problem among us, and it causes all kinds of trouble and disunity in church and society. So on the one hand, we can say, yes, the church's one foundation is Jesus Christ, her Lord, but the church in this in-between time, the church is struggling right now, fighting. The church is in a militant mode. This is a way that we describe ourselves traditionally, which means that there are powerful enemies working against the church and attacking the church. Some of those enemies are even within the church. There is Satan. There are false teachers. There is sin. There is confusion. We're battling. We're struggling as a church against all these things. There's a whole section in your hymnal. With that section is entitled The Church Militant. Hymns that describe what it's like to live in this in-between time. Hymns like 659, Lord of Our Life, in which, in your hymnal, in which we, in the midst of the battle, pray this. This is verse 3. Lord, be our light when worldly darkness veils us. Lord, be our shield when earthly armor fails us. And in the day when hell itself assails us, grant us your peace, Lord. It's a time of struggle. But those same hymns also remind us of the unity that we have in Christ, the victory that we have in Christ. One day, Jesus will return, and the church together, fully and finally united in Christ, will celebrate the final victory over Satan and the forces of darkness. Until then, we put our promises, we put our trust in God's promises in Christ. Or, as stated in another hymn in the church militant section, number 666, verse 3, as true as God's own word is true, not earth nor hell's satanic crew against us shall prevail. Their might, a joke, a mere facade. God is with us, and we with God. Our victory cannot fail. So, until that day, when full outward visible Christian unity is finally realized, we put our trust in God's word. We put our focus on God's word. We know that God's word forever shall abide. Through his word, God is with us. Through his word, God gives us direction and hope and peace through these crazy times. Through his word, God focuses us on Jesus, our Savior, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, and lasting hope. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.